land go fallow.
So I know there's some acres we won't get planted now at all. I've already scratched them off the list, but you know, that just cuts into our pocket and our bottom line.
If he survives this year's economic blow, the science suggests his land will be able to continue growing corn and soybeans, at least for many decades. I'm Abby Wendell.
Good morning, I'm Brian Moline, and it's time for today's opening commodity report. Some headlines this morning. The sound of people yelling, buy, 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 is fading in Chicago, as in most future pits in Chicago and New York, where frenzied buying and selling once helped set prices on cattle and corn, palladium and gold, and dozens of other commodities. They're expected to close for good. In those pits, traders yelled and shoved and flashed hand signals, just as they did in the movie Trading Places, but faster, cheaper, and not nearly as noisy computers have taken over. Elsewhere, Asian shares tumbled today after Greece's voters vehemently rejected conditions set by its international creditors, deepening doubts over their future in the 19-nation eurozone. But China's benchmark, the Shanghai Composite Index, rebounded from last week's heavy losses after regulators and the securities industry intervened to prop up the markets. In early trading, markets in Britain, Germany, and France are down. Wall Street futures also down this morning. It's time to check in with Drew Lerner from World Weather Incorporated to get his in-depth agricultural weather forecast.
Forecast today continues to bring back rain across the region. It was a good weekend of weather that brought on drier conditions in many areas. Some of the necessary runoff from excessive rains from weeks past took place. It wasn't one of the warmest weekends across the Midwest, but it certainly was a welcome change, with abundant sunshine occurring in many areas that had been a little bit too wet previously. It wasn't completely dry. There were some storms that occurred near and south of the Ohio River. There were some storms west of the Missouri River, and overall the bottom line was generally still an improving tendency. The temperatures were mostly in the 70s and some lower 80s. We are going to see a cooler biased weather pattern occur this week across the Midwest, and as the cool front that's responsible for the cooler air settles into the region, it will generate some locally heavy rains across parts of the region, and it will turn wetter once again. The concern in the marketplace is that perhaps it's going to get excessively wet again and hurt some of the crop development production potentials. I personally don't believe that we're going to see a prolonged period of wet weather, but there will be enough precipitation for a while this week that the ground is going to be saturated, and we're going to have some concerns about the excessive moisture once again. But it's only going to last for a few days, and as we get into the weekend and next week, we should see less precipitation and somewhat warmer temperatures. That should put us back on the right track for improving the general crop conditions across a big part of the region. Certainly, there's going to be some areas that are going to be excessively wet for a longer period of time, but I do not believe that that's going to be a trend that's going to prevail all the way through the summer, causing big losses in production potential. I think it's important to stay focused on the fact that there's still a very large part of the Corn Belt that is doing extremely well with weather in general, including Iowa, portions of Minnesota, some areas in northern Illinois, and of course some of the western fringe areas are also doing fairly well. That doesn't mean we're going to have a bumper crop this year, but I just think that the focus of attention on some of the excessively wet areas may be a little bit overdone. That's easy to say if you're not a farmer that's dealing with the excessive moisture, and we certainly are not trying to minimize the significance of those areas that are excessively wet. The forecast will bring us some temperatures that are quite cool across the Midwest this week, though. Some readings today into Wednesday will end up dropping down to the 60s and 70s across the northern parts of the region, and the concern may end up shifting over to degree day accumulation, since there is a fairly good chance that the ridge of high pressure that's going to be building across the middle of the country will stay far enough to the west that a northwesterly flow pattern will continue across the Midwestern Corn Belt and keep the temperatures a little bit milder than usual as we move deeper into July. And if you're looking at some of the model data this morning, be real careful, because the 6E GFS model run produced a ridge over the heart of the Midwest for a while during the coming week, and that is not likely to verify, in my opinion. That ridge of high pressure will likely be much further to the west. west. Well, the bottom line for the U.S. Corn Belt is going to be that rain and thunderstorms are going to move across the region as we move forward through this week. Some 1 to 2 and local 3-inch amounts of rain may occur in parts of the lower eastern Midwest. Some of the western areas will pick up on 2/10 to 3/4 of an inch with some isolated pockets of 1 inch or more. The precipitation will come with, as I said before, a cooler bias. But as we move into next week, we'll see a lot less precipitation, and the bottom line should be one of improvement for a big part of the region. Some of the thunderstorms that occur could produce locally heavy rain. Some minor flooding is expected as well, and there could be some hail and some damaging wind in a few cases, just simply because we've got a nice cool air mass coming in where it's warm and humid ahead of it. The situation will be closely monitored. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey is an organization whose roots run deep, financing agricultural needs for over 145 years, helping serve the agribusiness needs of landowners and investors for generations to come. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Coming up on 8:55, and time to check in with Aaron Curtis over at Midco in Bloomington, Illinois. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, Brian. We are starting out with some weaker prices here as the, you know, the weather cooperated for the most part over the weekend. It was fairly dry throughout most of the Corn Belt. This morning we have July corn at 4.15 1/4, down 4.5. September corn at 4.23 1/2, down 5 cents. December corn at 4.32 1/4, also down 5 cents. July soybeans at 10.32 1/4, down 13. August soybeans at 10.21, down 17 1/4. And November soybeans at 10.13 3/4, that's down 16 1/2. July wheat in Chicago at 5.74 1/2, down 11 1/4. September wheat at 5.83 1/4, down 7 1/4. December Chicago wheat at 5.92 3/4, down 6 1/2. We have September Kansas City wheat at 5.88 1/4, down 3 1/2. December Kansas City wheat at 6.09, down 2 1/4. No trade yet on the livestock here, as it's still set to open here in a few minutes. Expecting just mixed trade, steady trade here on both cattle and hogs. We'll take it started. Market has recovered a little bit since the opening. We are seeing corn some 5 to 6 cents off their low. Same with soybeans, some 5 to 6 cents off their low. Like I said, it was a nice weekend, a dry weekend throughout most of the Corn Belt. We did see some rain in the Mid-South. Also saw some rain in the far northern Corn Belt, but for the most part, through most of the Corn Belt, it was a dry, sunny weekend. We did see some areas return to the field, a few beans getting planted, and a few field work and some spraying getting done over the weekend. A lot of hay put down, too, so it was a nice little change here. A lot of activity got done over the weekend. The market's responding accordingly. Looking ahead, expecting export inspections out here at 10 o'clock. We do have crop ratings out this afternoon at 3 o'clock, expecting ratings to be somewhat steady due to the dry weather we saw here over the last few days. Still keeping an eye on those Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio crop ratings, because that's taken the brunt of the wet weather here, and that's seen the most action as far as the deterioration in the crop rating. So still continue to keep an eye on that. We still got some rain moving through the Corn Belt, looks like this week, with some heavy rain possibilities this afternoon, expecting some on and off chances all week, so the market will continue to kind of monitor that situation. You know, it's still going to be a tough thing to quantify here moving forward as far as what corn and soybean acres is, and of course what yield is, and how much the weather has dictated the yield here moving forward, and that's going to continue to be a challenge for the market, kind of decipher what those two numbers are going to be here as moving forward. And really it's going to be, you know, probably have to get into fall before we really have a good handle on what the acres and yield is going to be. Moving ahead here this week, of course, on Friday at 11 o'clock we'll have the July supply-demand report. We'll take the grain stocks numbers that we saw at the end of the month, end of June grain stocks, move them forward, expecting ending stocks for corn and soybeans, at least for the current marketing year, to be a little lower. We'll see if the USDA has anything in store for the 15-16 ending stocks as far as influencing yield or not. So that'll be out on Friday morning at 11 o'clock. Other than that, it's still going to be mostly weather here. We'll continue to watch Thursday's high as being resistance, and expecting some sideways trade here moving forward, with one eye on what kind of rainfall totals we see here for the rest of the week, and of course what crop ratings say this afternoon.
All right, Aaron, well, thank you very much for that report. We really appreciate it.
You bet. Have a great day, Brian. Thank you.
You too. That's Aaron Curtis with Midco over in Bloomington, Illinois, taking a look at the numbers here this morning. In your weather forecast today, mostly sunny skies here in Champaign-Urbana. Some patchy fog has been out there this morning, but that's starting to clear visibility up to 3 miles out at Willard Airport. Look for a high of 89 degrees today. Mostly cloudy tonight. A slight chance of showers and thunderstorms this evening. Then showers and thunderstorms are likely after midnight with a low of 71 degrees. Showers and thunderstorms likely tomorrow. We'll have a high of 76 degrees. Tomorrow night, cooler, mostly cloudy skies, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms with a low of 58 degrees. Rain likely again on Wednesday with a high of 74. And then we'll have a chance of rain in the forecast all the way through Friday. Looks like we'll have warm weather over the weekend with no rain in the forecast Saturday or Sunday, at least no rain in the forecast at this point. We know how those things can change. Look for a high of 88 degrees both days. This is Illinois Public Media, WILL AM 580 and FM 90.9 HD3 Urbana. More Morning Edition is coming up here on WILL. I'm Brian Moline.
Good morning. The Women's World Cup goes to Team USA. We'll hear from a mom who went to Vancouver for the game and says her daughter sees the players as role models. It's Morning Edition from NPR News. U.S. women beat Japan to win their first championship since 1999. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm David Green. This hour, the aftermath of the Greek referendum. Voters rejected a bailout deal. Has patience run out for European leaders and creditors? And does this mean Greece is out of the Eurozone? We'll hear reaction from Europe. And later, reaction from scientists to Shark Week. The stories on the Discovery Channel might be more terrifying than they are accurate.
Go Shark. It's your birthday. We gonna party like it's your birthday.
It's Monday, July 6th. Fitty turns 40. It's the birthday of rapper Curtis Fitty St. Jackson. And the news is next.